Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam as a regular daily function. The chapter Dhritarashtra quits home. Text, what number is it? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Yena chaiva bhipanoyam.
Yena chaiva bhipanoyam.
Pranai priyatamarapi. Janaksadyo viyujheta. Kim utanya ganadibhi. Please chant. Together. Yena, pulled by such time, all together, pulled by such time, cha, and eva, certainly, abhipanaha, overtaken, ayam, this, pranai, with life, priyatamai, which is most dear to everyone, api, even though, janaha, person, sajaha, forthwith, viyujeta, do give up. Kim uta anyai, what to speak of any other thing. Dana ad hibhi, such as wealth, honor, children, land, and house. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whoever is under the influence of supreme kala, eternal time, must surrender his most dear life, and what to speak of other things, such as wealth, honor, children, land, and home. Purport. A great Indian scientist, busy in the plan-making business, was suddenly called by invincible eternal time while going to attend a very important meeting of the planning commission, and he had to surrender his life, wife, children, house, land, wealth, etc. During the political upsurge in India and its division into Pakistan and Hindustan, so many rich and influential Indians had to surrender life, property, and honor due to the influence of time. And there are hundreds and thousands of examples like that all over the world, all over the universe, which are all effects of the influence of time. Therefore, the conclusion is that there is no powerful living being within the universe who can overcome the influences of time. Many poets have written verses lamenting the influence of time. Many devastations have taken place over the universes due to the influence of time. No one could check them by any means. Even in our daily life, so many things come and go in which we have no hand, but we have to suffer or tolerate them without remedial measure. That is a result of time. So I think we can all add on our complaints about time. I know that it runs me ragged, it makes me really hurry all the time, and I'm sure all of us have experienced that it's very invasive on our life. It rains on a parade, there's abrupt ends to everything here, there's so many examples. So where can we lodge these complaints to? Where can we go? How about Big Ben in London? They had that big clock, right? Complained to Big Ben there. It's his problem. He makes it go all day long without stopping. But actually, the culprit is Krishna. Krishna admits to it, and the Bhagavad Gita says, time and destroyed the world. So really, we can point the finger at Krishna, but he will, in turn, for sure, point the finger back to us. Somehow or other, we got this notion once upon a time that we could manipulate things, We can manipulate things in our favor to be the supreme enjoyer, skirt around Krishna, get him out of the picture. And we thought we were doing a pretty good job, and Krishna gave us a big place to manipulate. But he has us by the tail. He's not going to let go. And so he comes here in the form of time to give us a hard time, to spank us, and to just show us that you're not going to do without me. And you really should come back to the spiritual realm where time is not there. It's unlimited, unending enjoyment with Krishna. So we made a bad choice, and here we are. But Krishna's very kind. He doesn't let us go. He's still hanging on. And he gives us the process of bhakti to rectify that mentality that we destroyed by being here in the material world. And Vidura here is also being very compassionate on Dhritarashtra. He's there to also present this bhakti process. Something, you know, get this huge ego out of your mind and your heart. But you know, I feel a little bit sorry for Dhritarashtra. Could you imagine if I put a blindfold around you for 1 week? 1 week. And your family members are all having a good time. They're going here and there and seeing this and seeing the nice food and everything. I can't imagine 1 day being blind. It would just be tormenting. What less your whole entire life, never getting to see anything, only hearing everybody enjoying and commenting on this and that. Be pretty grumpy, I think. I'd be pretty much lamenting all the time and be very, very envious. Extremely envious that I couldn't take part in any of these things. So what has Dhritarashtra been taking part in? Hearing politics, of all things. Something that is gonna put you in the dumps, you know? Listening to politics is just like the worst. And that's what plus all the complaints from his son about not being top on the list. So this is the attitude that has been, you know, encroached upon Dhritarashtra for his whole life. So it's a challenge for Vidura to come and try to shake some sense out of him, try to repair that ego. And it's pretty much at the last minute. Time is clicking. And so Vidura is very compassionate and is trying his best now to explain to him. So he's being a little bit heavy. He's giving him the sauce, but we should take it as us getting the sauce because we have the same mentality there within our hearts, being very selfish and big ego and thinking somehow or other that, you know, that I'm going to enjoy without Krishna. So therefore our mentality also needs to make way for the reign of Krishna back into our lives. Otherwise we will suffer like Vidarasa did, but his whole life he was miserable. So this is the last chance that he hears properly and makes some use out of this human form of life. It's a gift. I realize it more and more especially when I have to deal with little bugs and animals and things like that in the gardens and everything. I think, whoa, what a life, you know, being there in the garbage and being a worm and being a maggot and a fly and all these things, you know, being squished on by people. No intelligence, hardly any developed intelligence, pretty much a miserable life. Although some people think they might like to be a dog, good luck. But really, it's a gift. And to think that someone is giving you a wonderful gift. One time someone did give me a nice gift and I threw it away by mistake. You know? If someone gives you a nice gift and you throw it in the dumpster out here. What a waste. Some people are prodigies. They have gifts of like special talents. And if they don't use them, what a waste. Krishna's given them to you. So now we've gotten this gift of human life, and we are pretty expert at wasting it. We've wasted many, many of them on the dumpster of sense gratification. Just throw it all our energy in there, throw all our time and mentality and all of our intelligence into the dumpster. But there is much more meaning to life, and Srila Prabhupada has stressed many times that the real success means that Krishna has to be there, that one has to be in front of all the zeros. I was reading Chaitanya Bhagavat recently, and I kind of expressed this in the thing. It says, anyone who accepts someone other than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord is fallen, insignificant, and fit for living in hell. And this is kind of interesting. Presently, a few persons from the Mayavadi Sampradaya have promoted an insignificant, ordinary human being who is controlled by Maya and who is a servant of the senses as an incarnation of Krishna, an incarnation of Ram, an incarnation of Gaura, an incarnation of Gopal, an incarnation of Kalki, a joint incarnation of Nitai Gaur, a Jagat Guru, a Vishva Guru, a Yuga Avatar, and as Mahaprabhu. They have thus welcomed offenses, and as a result, the followers of such illogical so-called incarnations who are opposed to the descending process of knowledge or the incarnation of Lord Vishnu, rather than attaining the position of the Supreme Lord in the next life, will take birth as jackals. So this person, whoever that person is, not so fortunate, with all these big titles on the outside of his door, incarnation of this and that, really no better than a jackal. So we might have our big titles. Oh, I'm head of the jar, I'm head of the garden, whoop-de-doo, you know. Papa says, you know, all those degrees, MSB, S, etc. Just titles and showing you that I'm employed by Maya. Eternally employed by Maya. The same boss. Imagine having the same boss year after year. But yeah, Maya is my boss. I do whatever she says. But without Krishna, all those titles are worthless. And so this time around, this lifetime around, best we get employed by Sri Krishna and by his representative and earn a degree of bhakti. How nice it would be to actually have that real bhakti within one's heart and mentality. So this is our goal. But many other people have other goals. Has anyone ever been in a race? Any athletes here? Of any kind of a race? Yeah. I used to be in races, swimming races and things like that. And anyone who's been in a race knows that you start off and you get a steady speed or whatever, and then you find a position where you're really in good for making it. And then there comes a home stretch. And then you put all your energy, somehow you have to use grab this energy and just go to the finish, right? And so, and sometimes you win, sometimes you don't, but at least that's a way we race. But in the West, it seems like we're racing full speed all the time, and we don't even know where we're going. There's that nice song, I forget who's saying it, but it says, we don't know where we're going, but we're told we should hurry. Right? Isn't that an album? Right? So we don't know where we're going, but we've got to hurry. We've got to hurry. And at least we hurry, but we know where we're going. We're going to go do some service for Krishna. And eternally, we are looking for that position back as eternal servants. So here we're, Dhritarashtra is telling Dhritarashtra, you got to hurry. You got to step on the pedal now. You've been wasting a lot of time, and now you have that chance. So it should intensify and become more attached to Krishna. So that means you have to rearrange your life quickly at this minute. I think it was yesterday, or maybe it was coming in his class. talking about time and about Prahlad Maharaj, how he's, because it was yesterday, how it's divided up, how much time we waste in this lifetime, 10 years as a child, 10 years as a youth. That's 20 years of twiddling your thumbs. That's what they do now, right? They have these things, and they use, I don't know what they are, I've never used one, but they push their thumbs on some machine and they watch people kill people, right? You try to kill the person before it kills you or something. They do this hours and hours and hours. They're twiddling their thumbs, they're wasting their life. Even adults do it. Even a relative might. Wasted time, gone for nothing except for increasing your propensity to want to kill and to be competitive and to get on top and to get that ego bigger and bigger. It's a sinful waste of time. And then, of course, when there's all the years of anxiety trying to just maintain the body and the family and everything else. And meanwhile, you're sleeping 30 years out of your life, gone, you're dead, although living, sleeping in your bed. And then there's the old age, 20 years, maybe not, maybe more. Some people last till they're 100. Who wants to live to be 100? I don't know, but anyway. So a big, big waste. At least we can learn to use it as much as possible, starting from a young age for those who are lucky enough to be born in the movement. Young age, going to the school, learning all about Krishna, and becoming purified and becoming a little bit fixed. So they're very, very fortunate. But Prabhupada said that it was such a shame that people do waste so much time. And he encouraged us not to waste a minute. He said, if you have time, read my books or chant Hare Krishna. 24 hours, get absorbed so that you don't have Maya coming in and stealing your consciousness away. And then, of course, Katvanga Maharaj, he was expert. He was alert his whole lifetime, actually. Although he was a king and he had a lot of control, he had control of his mind. And he was alert that, yes, the real purpose of my life is to be with Krishna, is to get liberated, to get out of here, to get rid of this position, and to finish up my business. And so when the demigods came and they said, oh, you're such a fantastic king, you're such a great warrior, please, we have this problem with the demons, please come help us. So he said, all right. But he was there for many, many years fighting and did a great job, and they were successful. And then he was given a boon from the demigods. What would you like? And he said, well, I really like liberation. I'd like to go back and serve Krishna. The demigods go, it's a little bit beyond us. Do you want something else? And he said, well, at least tell me when I'm going to leave this body. And they looked at the watches and said, you've got about just a few minutes. So he said, back to earth I go. Just send me back to earth, go to the holy place, and absorb myself in Krishna. And he was able to do that within a few seconds. He got that benediction. We don't, have that benediction. So we should be on amber alert all the time, that at any moment we can be called back. I can relate a little to the story. Actually, this time of year is reminding me of a success story. Someone just told me about a month ago a few little details that now I realize it was a success, and it made me very hopeful. That there was one boy here, Hans. He had long hair, kind of looked like a hippie guy, and behavior was a little unusual for devotees, but he got attracted to doing service here. He got really attached to his service of making these permanent planters out of old pieces of the altar. It was a big job, it was hot, and he had a brain tumor. He told me and showed him pictures of it. When he had it, he knew he had it, and sometimes he had seizures previously. But so I was trying not to work him too hard and put something over his head and everything. And then all of a sudden he had some real bad seizures at night, and he had to go to the hospital. And he hadn't completed his thing, but he was determined to do it, even though he was not on that property anymore. He said, no, I gotta finish this property. Anyway, he ended up in the hospital, and And he did pretty good. He showed me pictures and that he had, you know, I couldn't visit him. Even though I said I was his priest, they wouldn't let me go see him. And because I wanted to chant and to make sure he had everything he needed. So I sent some things there. And then he was walking down the hallway and he was doing really good. And he had blood clot and he died. But recently someone came up to me and said that I met one of his doctors. And he said he said we had one of your people in here. He was always playing music, your music. And he said we thought we did it pretty good. He was really recovering nicely, and we were moving to another floor and everything. And then this happened, but before, you know, when it happened, since it's like the end of the weekend. Really? Yeah. Pretty amazing. But there's been a lot of devotees have done some amazing things because of their desire. And time is very tricky. Even for the pure devotee, it's a nice story. I wish Karajaji was here. I think she might know some of the details. But I heard it one time on a pastime tape. I think it was Hari Vilas was telling when he was in either London or England, and he was going to take Prabhupada over on a ferry. Anybody hear this last time? They were going to go on a ferry across the channel. And Hari Vilas was asking what time she would go, and he said, oh, well, it's very regular. It goes at this time every single day. And Prabhupada says, no, we should go at this, we should leave at this time. He said, but Prabhupada, this ferry goes every single day. It's scheduled to go from this time to this time. We should leave at this time, and everything will be fine. No. And Prabhupada said, no, we should go at this time. And they went, and there was something, and it was like one of those little things that Krishna did, and it left, and the whole different thing happened at that time. And so, Krishna could do some very strange things. Even that nice pastime that Arjuna was going to kill Jayadrath, swearing that he's going to kill him by the sun's death, and I'm going to set myself on fire or something like that. And Krishna's seeing the sun going down, and he has to kill Jayadrath, and he goes, and so the sun goes down the horizon, and then Krishna has to come back up. You know, and then he's able to kill Jayadrath. So, time I am. And we don't want to think that we can count on Krishna giving us those births. We have to be very determined and have that desire to not waste any time and utilize every single moment in Krishna's service. And be scared if we do waste time. I know that I used to do a lot of sports and water skiing specifically. And it can be kind of dangerous. And then I had an opportunity to go water skiing when I was a devotee. My sister wanted to take me out, and I said, well, I don't know. If I go back there, Krishna will kill me. I don't know if I go back to this crazy sport. But I went anyway, but I was scared the whole time. I didn't enjoy one minute of it because I was thinking, Krishna's going to spank me, you know. But so we should realize that Krishna can spank pretty hard. But Krishna is holding the stopwatch. And at any minute, he can finish. Even though you're not finished, it's finished. You're done. And there's a wonderful example of how Jagannatha Prabhu, Krishna says, I'm going to push this in 6 weeks. What are you going to do? And what do? All his complaints, all of his lists of should do, want to do, tossed them away immediately, got the best association he could, read, chant, finished up his business in 6 weeks. Amazing. So fixed and so alert on how important it is to be Krishna conscious. A very wonderful example and fortunate for all of us to witness that, of how to really hunker down. Now that we're all, you know, getting older every day, now, of course, is the best time to surrender to Krishna today. But don't think that we can just, you know, be, you know, the turtle all the time. We have to be the hare also, the hurry, and speed up, especially towards the end, and fix our mind on Krishna, engage all of our senses as long as we can use them, and hope that Krishna will enter our minds, and so we can remember him and utilize this human form of life to perfection. So anyone have anything they'd like to add or some other stories they'd like to contribute? Bhishma Dev also, he was able to stretch time so that he could see Krishna at the time of death. Many examples of how merciful Krishna can be. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Akhoti Prabhu. My question is, you mentioned three parts, you know, the things that we have to do and things we should do and things we would like to do. I want to ask you about what things would we want to do for Krishna. You know, you have a list of things that you want to do for Krishna, but it seems like sometimes it doesn't happen. You have some advice. Is it important? Is it important that we should try to do what we want to offer to Krishna, or we should just do what we have to do and what we should do?
Well, hopefully some of the things that we should do, we like to do, and it's for Krishna. So,
yeah.
And of course the things that we have to do, that's for Krishna. So
yeah.
If we're in anxiety that we didn't get to do everything that we wanted to do for Krishna, those specific things, Prabhupada said that's good. A little anxiety is good. So that we more anxious to serve Krishna the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to intersplice those real relishable services, those special things that we want to do for Krishna, in there to give us the impetus to do maybe some things that are a little more difficult.
So would you recommend to give ourselves some time, or like we give so much importance, again it's all for Krishna, but should we really give some more importance to things that we want to do that will inspire us more for the other two things, or?
I do it regularly because it just keeps me going. I would recommend it, although I don't let it take away from the things that I have to do or should do. I somehow always squeeze in.
Okay.
Just make time somehow or other. If your desire is there, then Krishna will arrange it. And that's a sign. If you try once, twice, three times, and it doesn't happen, it means that, okay, forget it.
Thank you.
Oh, speaking of me.
So I was thinking there, perhaps we'll see how that works out. But if you want to do what you have to or should do, then that solves the whole problem, because then you get to do all three at once.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you feel you have to do what you want to do, then that might solve it too.
But if you're thinking of Krishna, then everything should be relishable.
Mother Agatmika asking, who was the example she gave who had 6 weeks to live?
Jagannatha Prabhu.
You have to say it slowly.
Jagannatha Prabhu.
Jagannatha Prabhu, Mother Nanda's husband. I was focusing on that verse, the famous verse in Bhagavatam, Ayuharati Vaipungsam Udayanastan Janaso. So I was thinking like the world values so long we are valid. And when we become invalid, the world does not really value us. But in Prabhupada's case, it's opposite. Actually, the world is valuing more now, physically maybe invalid. So this is the time has no influence in that sense to devotees. I mean, I'm not a devotee, but I'm trying to become a servant. So time does not actually have, rather it reverse.
Prabhupada made the best use of his time. It was a blessing that we had the time with him, that he gave us his time. So we should see this as as long as we're absorbed in giving Krishna consciousness, then it doesn't matter what's going on. If our bodies are getting old or whatever, time is really not affecting our consciousness that I'm doing everything I can for Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really affect us. And therefore, it's not robbing, it says in that purport. I was there when Prabhupada gave a lecture in L.A. on that verse. It robs our robs things away from us, but not for the Dori. He doesn't rob anything.
Mm.
We have Krishna.
I was thinking also like, you know, those verses in Bhagavad Gita, Tasmat Uttishtato Jaso Labhasya, said Krishna told, shown to Arjuna that I already put them to death. So what he has to do is act as the instrument. But more than that, actually, Krishna will reciprocate, as you gave the example of Jayadratha. There was so much affection between Krishna and Arjuna. There was an experience there. Because Arjuna took that vow, as you said, and Krishna actually conversed. He said, how did you take this vow? You know Jayadratha? He can be killed 1,000 times and will not be dead until his son, a father put the head on the ground. That's like almost impossible. But then Arjuna gave the perfect answer, so we can take advantage of it. He said, you know my power I don't have, but I know your power, you are omnipotent. Together we can do it. So I was reflecting that what we are trying to achieve, the pure love to be awakened, but that pure love is already there. So Krishna is waiting for our real sincere endeavor. So this kind of talks that you did the whole chapter is like, it actually helps. I mean, to me, I feel like it's like it pushes. Come on, be serious. Time is really running out. So this is good. Bhagavatam is really good. I appreciate that.
Jayarasa had love for Krishna. He knew that Krishna was God, but he didn't want to really accept it. But
correct.
But yeah. So we just have to fan the spark. Everyone, Hans was a devotee of Krishna. We're all devotees of Krishna. It just has to be fanned. So Vidura's there, trying his best right now to fan that spark.
But I always get struck with this Prabhupada's purport that Dhritarashtra did not become pure devotee, thus disappointed his guru or his brother. So we don't want to do that mistake.
Let's not disappoint Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted some moons amongst the stars. So he wanted us to become Krishna conscious so that we could deliver others too. So we don't want to be disappointing, so we have to do our best to fulfill Prabhupada's orders, become Krishna conscious.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, such a nice class. I was at home listening, and when you were talking in the beginning about the value of human form of life, and you see all these bugs, little squishy grubs and things, so the value of utilizing time, I had to come over. I wanted to share. One devotee told me when she first came to the temple, she was just a hippie that was a vegetarian and heard that they served free food at the Hare Krishna temple. So she went to Portland. And she stayed for a few days and then she was going to leave. And you told her, but there's a festival coming. Can't you just stay a couple more days? So she stayed a couple more days, and then it was full moon. And on the night of the full moon, she had this dream where somehow or another, she was seeing Krishna and his Rasalila, but she was in the position of a little insect, like in somebody's garland or something. And it was so extraordinary. So she stayed a little bit longer, but then she was gonna leave. And you told her, no, this other festival, it's coming, can you just help us with this? Can you just help us with that? One more full moon came. She had another dream, very similar, but in a different position. She was just some tiny, tiny little insect on the outskirts watching. And she thought, this is extraordinary. When it happened for the third time, after you persuaded her to stay just a little longer, she again had a dream like that, and she thought, okay, I have to surrender. And then she told me, and then the next 20 years, and by now it must be 35 or so, I never had anything like that ever happen. But it was you who persuaded her to stay, to utilize her time, so I just had to share that.
I needed help. I was pretty much by myself.
Actually, I have a similar experience, how you touched someone's life. I had brought that guy, Dean, to you a few days ago. And he's from Stanford. He has a very good degree in finance. He traded with bitcoins way back. He has a lot of Lakshmi. And then he said, but stock market really messed up his mind. He said he could not, he felt like spirituality was leaving him. He could not feel himself. And then he came to your eco village, and in 10 minutes of your philosophy, he said, I kept on thinking about her whole day. Oh my God, you guys live this philosophy. And how can you do that? Are there more? And he kept on asking more, but the whole day, he's in the middle of writing his book, and the whole day he kept on thinking about you and the Eco Village Farm, and I was just so mesmerized by a transformation in a few minutes that you had, 10 minutes or 15 minutes you spoke to him.
The right man there.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of right man there out there.
Well, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Shri Prabhupada,